May I ask you, please, to turn with me to an Old Testament passage, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10. Beginning with verse 6. The person we are speaking of is Israel's first king, King Saul. And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they were come thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for thy word, and we ask that you will give us something from us this morning that will be a blessing to our own souls, and that we will seek to enter into the problems of others, and that way we may be found doing your will. We thank you that you have empowered us to do all of these things through your Holy Spirit. Bless us then, we pray this morning, for we ask it in your name. Amen. I sometimes think that many old folk are like the Bourbons. It was said of them that they learned nothing and forgot nothing. Well, I sometimes feel that way. I'd like to know a good deal more than I do, but somehow I find it difficult to forget many things that I would like to forget. Now, the subject that I am going to deal with for a short time this morning is the subject of spiritual decline. With so many young folk here, I wonder if I've chosen the wrong subject. But I don't think so, because I am reasonably certain that the Lord laid it upon my heart for my own good and to you as well. During the last few years in Africa, I was not engaged in the work at Sakaji School. I spent a good deal of my time with the Africans. And one particular phase of the work became of great interest to me, and, shall I say, a great blessing to my own soul. I've never been happy about the way we have reacted, some of us, when people get away from the Lord. I feel that we have a spiritual responsibility, a very definite one, to pray for them and to do what we can to help them. And I had the joy of working with quite a number of people who had once been happy Christians, as far as that is possible, but who had left, as it were, their first love and were no longer in fellowship with the Lord's people. I'm going to mention one man in the course of my talk, but this I would like you to feel is not particularly a missionary address. I'm just using this as an example of how the Lord enabled me to think very seriously about these things. Now, like some other folk, I've had trouble in my own family with people, children getting away from the Lord. And so what I say to you, I say from my heart. Now, it was an Old Testament problem. And here we have an outstanding example of a person who got away from God, and very seriously too. Have you noticed those words, God is with thee? God gave him another heart. Not only are they beautiful words, but they are empowering words. And you remember that this man, Saul, was one chosen of God to lead the people of Israel. And he needed that which God gave him. But as we already intimated, it wasn't very long before he was on the downward track. And I think that it began almost immediately after the passage which we have read. His uncle asked him, "What did the prophet say to you?" And Saul declined to tell it. He'd missed a great opportunity. He was the king. He'd already been anointed. God had placed the scepter in his hand. A little while after that, when he was to be formally proclaimed king, couldn't be found. He'd hidden himself among the stuff. You say, was he cowardly? It could hardly be that, because not very long after this, he had a remarkable victory over the Ammonites. Well, then we come to his disobedience, and after that, there is the story which most boys and girls know, the story of David and Goliath. And this champion of the Philistines came out and called for someone to fight him. Well, who was it who should have offered himself? Well, of course, none other than King Saul. But he wasn't able to do it. He wasn't able to do it. God is with thee? I'm afraid not. God gave him another heart? No evidence of it. Well, that leads to tragedy. King David, or as he was to be, but David the shepherd, took on the challenge. And he won. It's a story we all love to read. King Saul almost immediately began to hate David. And he spent the rest of his life trying to destroy one who could not possibly be destroyed, because God had told David that he was to be king, and what God says will take place. Well, not only did he bring down himself, but instead of looking to the defenses of his own kingdom. He wastes his energies chasing around after David, and he was totally unprepared to meet the Philistines at Mount Gilboa. He lost his life and the lives of his sons and the lives of many of his people. Well, you say it is a very sad story. I think so, and one which we might very well bear in mind. There are a great many people in this age in which we live who have made professions and have carried many people along with them, and then they have failed. It's very sad. But you know, it's also a New Testament problem. Can you hear the pathos in the words of the apostle when he says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Pathos, anguish. This was a man who served with him, and as far as we know, was an able minister of God's word. And it represented defeat. And it represented loneliness. Another of those who followed the Lord and who worked with me has gone back to the world. Well, that's what it says. I love to read into the mind of the apostle, and I can sense the sorrow that there was there. Well, let me give you an African problem. It's an African problem as well. As missionaries, we live very close to the Africans, and whether we're great linguists or not doesn't seem to make much difference. They come to us with their problems, especially as we grow older, and we do our best to help them. One day I was told that a good friend of mine, whose name was Yikasha, had gone to be with the Lord. And I went along to help in the interment. Very simple matter in Africa. But you know, as I sat there and later stood at the grave, I thought about the life of this dear man who is now in the presence of the Lord. As a young man, I knew him well. He was made a school teacher. And as missionaries, we are expected to help out, so all of us at Tsakeji had to give one afternoon teaching the African people. And it was very simple teaching indeed, just the ABCs, trying to get them to learn how to read, and many learned. And Yikasha was the head of the teacher of that school. You know, one day, a problem arose in the village where he lived. A couple of children, I believe it was, had died. Well, you can't enter into this at all. But those of us who come from Africa can. Immediately, the whole village is, as it were, looking for someone who is perpetuating witchcraft, who has been doing it, and is therefore an enemy of his own people. Well, they decided to call in a witch doctor, which they usually do. And the witch doctor called all the relatives together, all the people in the village, because they're almost all related in some way or other. Well, Yikasha said, "I'm not going. I'm a Christian." So they put pressure on him. They cajoled him, said, you just have to come, you don't have to do anything, just be there. Yes. Well, as I thought then, I remember that verse coming to my mind. Blessed is the man, yes, that walketh not, that standeth not, that sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And that's where he was going. Eventually he agreed to go along, and it wasn't very long before he was involved. He had to be put out of the church, as we call it over there, sit behind, and for a long time he was out of fellowship. His dear wife was heartbroken. She pleaded with him to have nothing to do with these people. But he didn't seem to realize that God was speaking to him through his wife. Well, he repented. And after a time, he came back into fellowship. But then he was a poor man. The witch doctor had laid the blame upon him and took practically everything that he possessed. And in those days, he was looked upon as a fairly wealthy African. Both he and his wife possessed bicycles. They had a flock of some 30 sheep and big fields. It's all gone. All taken away. Because he had to pay these debts, these witchcraft debts. Well, is that the end of the story? Well, I'm happy to say not. Because when Ecclesia came back to the Lord, he was a stronger man than he was before. And he was one of the elders there at the church at Killeney, highly respected. And when I stood there at the grave, I knew that the Lord had blessed that man, and he'd overcome the failure which he had in his early life. Well, you say that's an isolated problem? No, we're facing it all the time. I remember sitting and talking to a man whose name was Kabaka, which means corn. And he was away from the Lord. He'd been in fellowship. So I said, why don't you return? Well, I said, no, not now. He said, you're the only one who's spoken to me. Well, I said, haven't the elders been here? No, he said, they haven't. Well, I, of course, had really asked a foolish question, because in our country, there's a great deal of legalism. And when a person gets away from the Lord, he's kind of erased. You don't belong amongst us anymore because of your sin. And in Africa, there are only two or three sins that count: witchcraft, adultery, drunkenness. You can do most anything else, but if you get caught in any of those, you're in trouble. Well, it's also a missionary problem, that is, missionaries themselves. I have a dear friend who works in Africa, and God is using him. And he was very, very seriously ill. And one brother came to see him after he was recovering from his illness. And this brother said to him, you've had a very serious illness. The Lord's brought you through. Yes, said this brother, and more than that, the Lord has brought me back to himself. I was away from the Lord, and the Lord chose this method to bring me back to himself. Well, there are just a few examples of this problem. Well, as I've already said before, I'm not preaching to you. I think most of you have already said the people to whom you should be speaking are not here. Well, I want to say that I would like you to take this very seriously and to pray about it, because it's a very serious missionary problem. You say, why don't missionaries speak of it more often? Well, they have other things to talk about, and they're very well aware of the fact that most people like to hear good things. They like to hear of hundreds being saved here and people being saved over in this area. I don't blame them. But remember, there's the other side. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity I've had of bringing a number of these dear people back again to the Lord. Well, then, what is the root cause of the problem? You know, it's something that we forget about. Do you remember those words that the Lord said to Peter? He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to thee to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Yes. Well, Peter fell. He denied the Lord 3 times. That's often mentioned. But he came back. But the Lord put his finger on the trouble. Satan hath desired thee. And I am quite certain that most of us sometimes forget that we are dealing with one who is very powerful, but not all powerful, and whose great delight is to destroy the testimony of the people of God. Well, there are other verses in the scripture that I could give to you, but I won't take the time. I don't have the time this morning. But you know, our African friends, who you say are very simple, perhaps they are, sometimes very hard to discuss things with them because they don't know anything about our civilization and culture. And so we have to deal with things around us, which perhaps is a good thing. Well, I remember one African woman, and it was told me that she prayed, Lord, keep us from Satan. Well, she meant it. She meant it. She knew perfectly well about what happens to Christians when they get away from the Lord. She knew perfectly well about the anguish and sorrow that you have in the village life. And that was her prayer. And she put her finger right on the spot. Satan is desirous of destroying them. He's desirous of destroying us because we bear the name of Christ. There's another verse which we have. Paul wrote these words, and we touched upon them this morning, although we didn't read them. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, I forgave it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so you would say, do you suggest then that if we have an unforgiving spirit, we are in spiritual decline? That's precisely what the Word of God tells us. Unforgiving spirit, unwillingness to forgive. And I'm not, of course, referring to anything here, but I've run into a good deal of it. in my life. And it is one of my prayers that I shall be willing at all times to forgive those who have in some way offended me. It's a very important thing. And Paul again puts his finger upon the main point, lest Satan should get the advantage of us. You know, if you read Pilgrim's Progress carefully, or the life of John Bunyan, Satan was a reality to him. I know he weaves it so beautifully into the Pilgrim's Progress, Apollyon, but he was burdened in his own heart because Satan did not want him to write the Pilgrim's Progress, one of the books which has blessed the Christian world for about 3 centuries, yes. And Martin Luther. You will remember how Martin Luther was captured by his friends. And he was put in the castle of Wartburg. And being one of these men with tremendous energy, he decided to translate the Bible into the German language. He was, as it were, a follower of Wycliffe and Tyndale and others who realized that unless people could read the Word of God in their own language, they would not be able to grow. And that, of course, is why missionaries spend so much time over their translations. They want the people to have the Word of God. Well, you know, there in the Wartburg, by his own testimony, he was continually troubled. And at one point, he is said to have thrown an ink pot across the room at Satan, who was irritated. Well, psychologically, you can deal with that as you like. But nevertheless, he knew that he was being hindered in a work which he wanted to do and which God wanted him to do. But he finished the translation into the German language. Well, just one other verse I have for you. You remember that beautiful word that we have in 1 John? And as you are aware, John's small epistles deal very intimately with our walk as Christians. And one of the injunctions that we have there is this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if we turn back to the first chapter, we have these words: if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, Satan uses this world's thing to get us away from God. And once he's led us away, goodness only knows, and I say that respectfully, where we'll end. Well, as I said to you, I'm apologetic because I think you'd have loved to have heard something more positive. But I must give you what God's laid upon my heart. And I am very thankful, as I've already said to you, that he has used these thoughts to be a blessing to some of our African people, and also to some people in this land. So, as you think about these things, do apply them to your own heart. And as you think about them, pray for others and pray for me, because Satan will never leave us alone until that day when we are found in the kingdom of God. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this wonderful hope we have of one day being with him. We thank you for the strength that we derive from our meditation of him day by day. We thank you for all the precious things you've given to us this day and the days which have gone. Bless these few words, we pray, and we ask that you will help us to pray for those who have gotten away from you, that one day they may return to happy fellowship with yourself. We ask for your blessing upon the remaining activities of this day. We thank you for the blessing we shall receive, and we thank you for it. Remember us then, we ask, in your name. Amen.